Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, the head football coach of the Southeastern Louisiana Lions, Frank Selfo. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me on this evening. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Coach, before we get into the details on your team, I want to ask you about the recruiting part of things. And we've heard it from a lot of different coaches on how to handle it. And I know you have went to the junior college ranks for players. But from your standpoint, transfer, portal, JUCOs, it's really kind of put a little bit of a dent in the high school recruiting for a lot of teams. They've got players that tell me, you know, I was getting recruited and all of a sudden weren't, and now I got to take another route. How does this affect you in particular and teams in the Southland Conference?
Well, they're 100% right, Mike. The NCAA never planned on this. Of course, they don't plan on anything. That's the worst run organization in the history of it, besides the federal government, probably, you know. They're the worst organization you've ever seen. So they never planned on the ramifications of just opening up this whole process from a portal standpoint. And what's happened now is that schools and universities, and we're the same like everybody else, you always want to go get the best player you can to fit your program to allow itself to success and then to grow. And what we've chosen is to go the high school route. We recruit a couple of junior college guys every year. We dip into the portal a little bit, not much. We really have to have a relationship with that player, maybe through recruiting him out of high school, or we know something about him. Maybe he's from the area and some of our players know him. But the ones that are really getting left out are the high school players. And, you know, schools are replenishing after spring practice. You'll see, and the portal is kicking up right now, you'll see that the guys are going to start basically calling players in and saying, hey, you know, you need to go find another place and you need to move on from here. And then they're going to go back into the portal and get enough players to come in to replace those players, to give them depth, scout team guys, things like that. So we got hit this year with, I think, eight guys ended up in the portal going to the FBS schools or being told they got a chance to go to FBS schools. And I think that's what's happening is that the guys have a scholarship and they're leaving the place they're at to go to another place that it's a bigger school, more prestige, more money, things like that. But they're not getting the opportunity to play and grow right. And develop. And that's where they're caught now. So it's the high school guys are getting – there's not as many opportunities. In the past, you could sign 25 guys. Well, now you sign 25 high school players. Well, now you sign 10 to 12 portal guys, and then what does that leave you? You know, 10 to 15 high school players. So, you know, it's a tough situation. Now, where we benefit – we feel like we're getting a better high school player. We signed 22 this year, high school players. We're staying at the high school level. We're building our program, and I said that from day one when I got here. I am going to sign kids from Southeast Louisiana and populate my roster like that. And that's what we've done. And this year we signed 22 high school players, 19 of which from South Louisiana. And I'm going to continue to do that because I think we're getting better players because the group of five is they're really into the portal heavily and they're leaving a lot of guys that are out there that don't have a place to go.
You know, Coach Selfo, looking at obviously, boy, you've always been in the postseason. You know what have you done for Army lately? And looking at like for instance, you get his name's slipping my mind, the kid from Arkansas. That was like, I think it was like,
Cole Kelly.
And then I look at like, look within this Outland, look at Lindsey Scott. All of a sudden he's at Nichols. Then he goes to Incarnate Word. And when he was there,
he's the player of the year.
Coach Selfo, you think you see more of that? I mean, it could happen even within your conference.
Well, it could. You got to remember that when we got Cole, that was prior to the portal opening up.
Right.
So Cole was an FBS to FCS transfer, which allowed him to be eligible immediately.
You don't have to sit out,
Yeah. So what happens then is that you get guys from FBS that come to FCS and you go, wow, yeah, he really wants to play ball. That's all he wants to do. He wants an opportunity to play. Well, there's not a lot of guys now when you can go FBS to FBS and be eligible immediately. Why would a guy from LSU now come to Southeastern when he can go to Alabama? Why would LSU recruit a Southeastern player when if they want to win, they got to go to Alabama and get a guy or to Georgia and get a guy or to Arkansas and get a guy, right? Texas A&M and get a guy.
Right.
They're not going to get 10 guys from Southeastern and win the Southeastern Conference. If they're doing that, then I need to jump to the SEC, right? So they need to those guys are evaluating and recruiting players at that level. And the guys at the Power Five and Group of Five that they're getting from us are basically depth, scout team guys, things like that, tryout guys that they'll keep for a year or two, and then they'll cut them at the end if they can't play. And if they can play, great. You know, those guys get an opportunity. But if they can't play, they'll end up cutting them and moving on and just keep churning up the roster. The NFL does it every year, Bobby. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
You eliminate the bottom third of your roster, and you go fill that in, and you grow that, and your good players are still your good players, and you keep getting, keep trying out new guys. You know guys which can't play, and then you keep filling in with the guys that you're not sure of whether they can play or not.
Now, Coach Selfo, I'm not just tooting your horn because you're on with us tonight, but who's been more consistent in the Southland Conference the last 3 years than Southeastern Lions? I mean, what you've done, it might even be, I don't know, is it 4 years? But I know the last 3 years, it seems like that you're always in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, there's only three teams in the country that have been in the top 25 the last 4 years. And it's North Dakota State, South Dakota State, who won the last two national championships, and us.
Whoa.
And a lot of people don't know that. That's in the top 25 in the nation.
Now, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it is. But what we've done, Bobby, is that we've done it with high school guys from Louisiana. I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of talent down here that people just don't know about. And we got a lot of schools that are recruiting. I said it when I got here that I wanted to follow the roadmap that Tim Rebo down at Nichols, who's our biggest rivalry, but he put together a program down there that they went back-to-back.
And it's similar.
And he built it with Louisiana kids. And I said, I'm doing the same thing because I'm from this state. You guys are from this state. Yeah. And I said, we're going to do it like that. We're going to win like that. And that's what we're doing. And I think our guys have bought in, not so much bought in, but they represent our state. They represent our university. They represent Hammond America and this whole region. And it's really good to watch when we go out and go play across the country. And I think us being in the playoffs, we've gotten to the second round three times. We got to bust through that door, right? But we've gotten there. We've gotten to that door, which nobody else has done that. So we want to continue to do those things and keep growing this. But we want to get this thing on a national scale, and I think we are. I think we're at that point now where people are starting to recognize us across the country. We're going to go play Eastern Washington this year. And that's a heck of a deal up there on that red field.
It's noticeable. No, they got the blue field in Boise, but they got the red field in Eastern Washington.
That's right. That's exactly. And that's a heck of a tradition up there. So that's going to be a great test for us coming off of Mississippi State and South Alabama and then going back up there and playing those guys. It's just exciting to see us doing those things because it's hard to get people to play us home and home. People don't want to come down here to play us. And so it's hard to find guys to play us home and home. And my hat's off to Eastern Washington to agree to that.
Now, Coach Selfo, now when you look at North Dakota State, even the Jackrabbits, South Dakota State, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, they're skilled players, North, South, East, West. It just seems like when I watch, I still call it 1AA, whatever, you know, back in the day. So, to me, when I look at it, when all said and done, to me, it's still in their trenches. That's where, like, North Dakota State and South Dakota State has the advantage. Is that a fair assessment or what?
No, because they don't have a lot of those guys. Man, if you go to some of the other schools, you know, as you would say in Division II, man, look the linemen, offensive linemen at those schools. Those are some huge dudes.
Yeah.
They look like NFL guys, yeah. And a number of them have went to the NFL.
Yeah, whether you're talking about Montana State, or you look at, like, Northern Iowa, North Dakota State, yeah. To me, that's the difference. I think we can hang with the skill people, but I think it's the linemen. Is that a fair assessment, Coach Selfo, or what?
I think it's a fair assessment, Bob, but you got to remember now, North Dakota State had the, what, third pick of the draft, the quarterback, Trey Lance, that went to San Francisco, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So there's a first-round pick, third pick of the draft, or fifth, or something like that. And then last year, Christian Watson, he was the first-round pick, went to the Packers, a receiver. So
that's true.
Don't think they just run the power every snap now.
Right.
Those guys
are
good. Yeah, they got some good players. But we went to overtime against Samford in the second round of the playoffs this year, and the winner of that game went to North Dakota State to play there. And if you want to win, if you want to win, you want to get to where you want to be relevant on a national scale, you got to go in there, and you got to go play, and you got to go beat those guys. And that's a hell of a task, and that's what I want to get to. I want to go up there, and I want to play in the Fargo Dome. I want to be there. I want our guys to be on that scale so that we can say, hey, look, we're here. Let's go. And we belong here, you know. So what you're saying is right. North Dakota and North Dakota State, there's two universities in that state. That's it. South Dakota State. Those are the two main universities
right.
in the state that play ball. Well, in Louisiana, we got a lot of people that play good football, man. I mean, you look at what LSU did and Tulane did last year, Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Tech, I mean,
right.
Grambling, Southern, and then the Southland, Northwestern, McNeese, Nicholls State, Southeastern. Here we are. And then, you know, so we're fighting. We got a lot of talent down here, but there's a lot of people fighting for that talent, whereas they got a corner on the market for those kids.
Coach, at the most important position, I'm going to make him feel good at quarterback. You got kind of a three-man battle there with Eli Sawyer, Zachary Claymore. I remember he was at Lafayette Christian, then he went to Northwestern State, and now he's you guys, and then Cam Cooper. How is that kind of shaken out? Because you would like to have the clear-cut guy, but it seems to me that it's pretty close between the three.
You know what, Mike? You say you'd like to have a clear – I don't know if you ever have a clear-cut guy unless you have a dude, right?
Yeah.
And what's pretty good is that all three of these guys, as we go through spring ball, they're getting equal reps, equal opportunities in certain situations. Practice today, we had a really good spirited practice. And you see these guys grow at different times. Eli's been here for 3 years, so he's probably a little bit ahead from a system standpoint. Cam's just coming over. He's got a lot of maturity. He's an older guy, so he understands a lot of stuff. Zach's very talented and has played a lot of football up at Northwestern. He was the second-team Southland Conference quarterback this past year behind Lindsey Scott Jr. So we got three guys that we really feel good about. We're not going to make a decision. We're going to go through the summer. We're going to go into fall camp. Every year since I've been here, we've played two guys. And I've never had a problem doing that. Even when go back to the Tulane games, Patrick Ramsey was a first-round pick. Well, J.P. Lossman played a lot of snaps.
Sure right. Did.
So we've played two guys. And then since I've been here, we've done the same thing. And I think that, you know, the quarterbacks understanding their roles and the value, what they bring to the team, you know, and the team sees that. I know that if you're – a guy, Bobby was a guy. I'm the guy. I don't need a rep. I need all the reps. I'm taking all the reps.
Right.
Well, you're head and shoulders above everybody else. But if things are close, you want to get that other guy from a depth standpoint to be able to play. So I really feel good about our quarterback position right now. There's not a lot of experience there except probably Zach from what he did at Northwestern. But for the most part, our guys are competing their butts off right now.
Frank, one of the things I'm always on Rebo about is, man, listen, you win with special teams. your place kicker, your punter, your return game, that hidden yardage in the return game, if it's punt return, kick return, when you add it up, I mean, it's kind of stunning of how much yardage you might gain and lose with having a great return man. And in the kicking game, to have a kicker that can hit it for you, big kicks. And I'm not talking about 45-yard kicks. I'm talking about at this level, you're talking about 38, 40-yard field goals to be consistent.
Well, you can count on
that's
them.
Where I think I think where you can make some hay here, because one, the athletes in the return game, and also two, the kicking game. I just think that that's a hidden part of NFL and college football a lot of people don't put emphasis on.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And it's so important to be able to keep bringing guys in. Our punter, Austin Dunlap, I thought he was the best punter in the country last year. I didn't see everybody. I know what he did for us. And then our kicker, Riley Callahan, just really came on, ended up being an All-American as a freshman. He wasn't even a starter last year. See how smart I am. And but he earned that job as a season, and then he just exploded. He's really had a good spring this year, so this spring. And I'm just really looking forward to see how it goes. But, look, we got competition at those positions too, man. We got some other guys that are, you know, they want to get on the field. And I think that's where everything – has to happen. You have to feel that pressure in your own organization so that when you go out on the field on Saturday night, that pressure, you've already been there. The pressure was getting on the field, I can do that. I just wanted to get there. And now I'm going to make it, you know? So,
do you have a return man that you can say, I think maybe he's the guy, especially in the punt return game?
I think in the punt return, Darius Lewis, okay. His dad played for the Saints. Yeah. And so he's our return guy. I think he's a little special with the ball in his hand.
Sure,
and we got a couple of other ones, but Darius is going to be our return guy as we go into the fall. He's done a really good job this spring, and I think he's going to be a guy that he's really explosive with the ball in his hands.
Now, you know, Coach Selfo, when you look at like the future of college football and where we're at right now, and you look at expansion in SEC, Texas and Oklahoma coming on board, and how many conference games you're going to play, 8, 9, whatever. How does that influence? Because it seems like LSU is always willing, because you look at the budget, all the prospective universities, whether it's, you know, Southeastern, whether it's Nicholls State, McNeese, Northwest. You have an opportunity to play LSU. Like, for instance, Nicholls was supposed to play LSU in the COVID season.
And that didn't happen.
That guy canceled.
Right,
do you think, and when you go into more conference games, that being 8, 9 instead of 8, that all of a sudden, I said, look, if LSU is going to play instead of playing like a Southeastern or McNeese type school from Texas, why not stay within Louisiana? What do you think is going to come about with that, with future scheduling, as far as to help your own,
yeah,
as far as with their budget?
I agree with you. I really, you know, I hope and pray that that they continue the rotation that they're doing for us. They played Southern this past year, right?
Sure.
Right. They're rotating teams through. LSU is our flagship university in the state of Louisiana, and they provide the highest profile, and they also pay the most money. You know, we can drive over there. It's a day game for us, so we drive over, we play the game, and then we come back. Hopefully we can win.
And it helps, you know, your budget.
We still get a great check, right?
You can't be like McNeese and get a call off on the Lightning deal.
Yeah, that would be the best thing to happen, right? But so you'd like for that to continue. I don't know. I can see college football with the NCAA and the shambles that they're in. I can see that those Power Five guys say, you know what, we're going to create our own organization.
Super conference, yeah.
For the rules, and then they're going to just pull away because financially the TV networks are paying so much right now that those guys are going to be able to do those things. They're going to be able to do things on their own and say, you know what, here's our rules, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And NCAA, you guys need to figure out, y'all got a nice building, a nice office, and y'all get paid a lot. We're not sure why, but y'all need to get out the way because we're going to do our own thing.
Right.
And I think that's what will happen.
Yep, I agree.
And I think it's going to sooner rather than later, because
yep,
there's way too much money from the TV networks that are coming in. And when you look at the Pac-12, they're scrambling right now, and they have to get their head above water. They're going to fall behind. the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and even the Big 12.
Right.
When you look at those conferences.
Coach, a final question for you. Your thoughts on what has happened with 7-on-7? Because it is, to me, aren't you getting a better quality of quarterback and wide receiver, and even you can say tight ends, because a lot of these guys are flex today, than ever before, because they've sort of played in this system that you see some of it equate to the college game, where it's a pitch and catch game today. Yes, you want to run the football when you need to and have to, but the quality of athletes now today, Pete Jenkins and I were talking about this. He's like, Mike, if we get guys off the bus, one of the first things I say is, okay, receivers go over here, linemen go over here. He said, Mike, you'd get run over if I told them where the receivers were. The linemen, he said, you know, those are the last guys, so to speak. The effect on 7-on-7 in college football today, and it's bleeding over into the NFL.
It is, Mike. You hit that nail on the head. I think what you're seeing is when we get guys, they've already gotten so many more reps to, you know, than say when Bobby was coming up.
Yes, we never did that. What? I mean, in my high school, we threw 10 passes. That was a lot.
Y'all ran the wing T.
Yeah, we ran T formation, wing T. It was like Coach Perry. You would like this, Coach Selfo. Perry was like, and Coach O, Bebe Ogeron will tell you, we'd have practices. I'm talking about, okay, this is the practice. We have 12 plays, so we got like 12 running plays and about 5 pass plays. And Coach Perry said, okay, this is our practice. Ralph Perry, we're hitting the sled for like 2 hours. And just hitting the sled and coming off the ball.
Even listen, the quarterbacks, right?
Yeah. And so you're hitting the sled and you're driving the offensive line coach all around and you end up, you know, getting a couple of miles. So just hitting the sled.
Yeah, he got frequent flyer miles on that.
So Coach Perry would say, like, Coach Selvo, you like this? He goes, what? If we can't get 3.5 yards a run, we suck. It's like, what? It doesn't matter how fast the other team is if they don't have the ball. Now you can't turn it over. I remember we played Bugalusa one time, beat them in the playoffs the year we won the state championship. And you think I'm exaggerating. We had the ball over a quarter. They had a running back, Raymond James. I think he wasn't very smart. He ended up going to UConn or something. And he could kick off out the end zone line drive. And they said, well, I don't care how good he is, Coach Perry said, if you don't touch the ball, he can't score. We had the ball in a quarter plus, and then it might have been at like a 16-17 play drive, methodically went down the score to touchdown. And I'll tell you, it was like, I never forget this. It was like Pink Floyd, the song, Welcome to the Machine. We were like the machine, just grinding and grinding. Now, you know, people, you know, they get bored with that kind of football. All I know is Coach Perry said, I don't care. We're going to win. We're going to win on the line of scrimmage. Coach O was part of that line of scrimmage. And like I said, if I threw 10 passes, that was a lot. And I'd go, you know, go 6-for-10, 7-for-10, whatever. You know what I remember, Coach Selfo? Now I'm going off on a tangent. Linebackers in high school.
Keep rolling.
Hey, linebackers in high school.
Yeah, we on till 8.
But I remember, linebackers in high school could not pass coverage. They were so aggressive trying to stop the run. So you run like cross bucks or bellies and fake. The tight end was always open dragging because the linebackers, they all caught up in the line of scrimmage and you just hit them. Then you keep moving the chains. It was unbelievable how I think I'm like a dinosaur, ancient, considering how we were able to win a state championship and beat the best of like the Catholic district. I don't care if it was St. Aug, whether it was like Brother Martin, whoever it might be. I remember we beat Wachita in the semifinals, like 4K was at Shaw, beat them, beat Tommy Wilcox. At Bonneville, ended up being All-American strong safety at Alabama. They ran the option. But that was the key. Coach Perry said, okay, if we can protect the football and we went on the line of scrimmage, and, you know, we might win 21-20, might be 20-13. Now it's completely different considering how the game was. And Coach O will tell you, it was like, damn, it was almost and it was my he married my dad's sister. Roland Boudreau was our offensive line coach. We called him Gribouille. And Gribouille would get on that sled and hit that sled all around the backfields by Sal LaFouche, and are just we hitting the sled. So one thing, if you were playing Sal LaFouche in the late 70s, boy, you better come off the football, because that's one thing that we were going to do. And isn't that an unbelievable, like, old-school story about, you know, it's about controlling the line of scrimmage? Come off the ball, and if we don't turn over, we're going to win.
Coach, we'll have
Bobby,
you back on.
It hadn't changed, Bobby. It really hadn't changed.
Now, that part hasn't.
You still got to win, but you better win the line of scrimmage.
That's right.
You have to win the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us, and you got a little bit of Bobby's story hour too with it. So
Coach Selfo knows that. He knows about the skill possession people. But if you win on the offensive and defensive line,
you win in a lot of games.
Well, you have a great chance to win, right?
That's exactly right. Now, look, I could do Bobby hour every night. In fact, I need to go meet up with Bobby one night and just hang out for a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get maybe about a third of the story, Coach.
No, you can't give it to you in two hours. If it's off the record, I'll tell Coach Selfo the real story.
A few cold ones. You're the media. It's always off the record with me.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
All righty. Coach Frank Selfo, Southeastern Lions head coach, and we'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.